Welcome everyone, this is Rafael Hernandez and you are listening to Believe in Barcelona. So yeah guys, it is with huge pain in my heart, no other way to describe it, that I record this podcast. I'm still not over it. I don't think that I'm going to be over it anytime soon. And I must admit that the initial shock just didn't get to me. The penny only just dropped now, I think. It's just really painful, so I apologize for not having too much enthusiasm today, but as usual, bringing you my honest opinion and the facts only too, to help you understand better the situation surrounding Barcelona, which I think it's more important than ever. So, of course, Messi has announced his departure from the club. And it came as a huge shock because it was out of nowhere. And I want to begin with this by saying that I think Laporta's biggest mistake was building up on the expectations that Messi was staying. The moment that he became officially the Barcelona president, he kept giving more and more signals that Messi was staying. And this came from Messi's interviews too. But the point is, he gave us all of the hope in the world, and of course, that ended up not happening. And I think that the hope that we had, honestly, I thought that Messi was done. Messi was going to stay the moment that Laporta was elected. I simply had no doubt about that, and I said it many times, including here in this podcast, and the way that it happened, I think it just made it more upsetting. It was a little bit like Anfield, you know, winning 3-0 at the Camp Nou and then losing by 4 goals at Anfield. Yeah, so it's the hope that kills, you know, that it's what makes everything a lot more harder to digest, if I'm honest. Yeah, the biggest mistake was Laporta. I wouldn't say that he promised that Messi will stay. He never said it out loud. Messi will stay if I'm elected president. But it was all the signs, and the way that it ended was simply calamitous. It came out of nowhere. It was Marca, a Madrid-based newspaper, that broke the news. There were many aggravating things about this, and when it happened, I really thought that there was a possibility that something behind the scenes had happened. It was the first thing that came to mind, honestly, that maybe Messi's father asked for more money, or Laporta tried to lower Messi's wages even more at the table, at the negotiating table, but it simply wasn't the case. We saw and heard it from Messi's words. He came to Barcelona willing to take a 50% pay cut, and he wanted to stay, of course. He did. We all saw him crying. I have to say, the most painful goodbye in terms of football that I ever seen in my life. It was just a tragedy, and it's really a shame because I think that it reflects the nature of the past few years for Barcelona as a whole. We had the upsetting defeats in the Champions League, sure, but we also had Dani Alves leaving through the back door. We had Valdés leaving through the back door too. And thankfully, Iniesta and Xavi had respectful departure. But overall, the whole disappointment has been a constant for us Barcelona fans, and of course the non-Barcelona fans, other fans from other clubs and journalists aren't going to understand the situation because, okay, you're a Barcelona fan, one of the biggest clubs in the world, the most successful club of the past 15 years in the sport. So what, you are complaining, you're acting spoiled, but we know that it's not that simple, guys. I still remember saying many times on social media that the 2015 treble was the worst thing that could have happened to Barcelona, and people were losing their minds with me, just basically saying that I'm really talking out of, you know, man. Really, I think that was really the turning point for everything, really. But we all know that it is the truth, because the treble guarantee that Bartomeu stayed for 6 years, and what he did, the amateurish way that he managed the club, was simply mind-boggling. And one thing that I want to kind of go on a tangent here to comment this, I read an article this week by Simon Cooper. He's an outstanding journalist, about, he is actually writing a book about Barcelona, and he, of course, he wrote a lot of great things about the club, but he ended up actually researching the downfall at the club to add to his book. So he was expecting to write a more positive book, so in the end he also covered our downfall. So yeah, by all means, I absolutely want to read this book. It's not out yet, as far as I know. He said that Bartomeu met the Dortmund delegates right after Neymar was sold to negotiate for Ousmane Dembele. And Bartomeu offered 80 million euros up front for Dembele. And the Dortmund delegates simply got up and started to leave. And then Bartomeu, because he was absolutely desperate to make signings after Neymar left, he basically offered almost double of the 80 million that he was originally planning to offer. And of course, Dortmund took that deal, and we know what happened. We got an injury-prone player that will likely never deliver on our expectations. And I think this little story illustrates the major point that Bartomeu is absolutely incompetent. He didn't know anything about anything that he was doing. He was completely incompetent, and his incompetence has really doomed us as a club as a whole to actually suffer a few years due to financial and sporting difficulties. So this is all really sad. As much as I would like to believe that Bartomeu was a plant from Real Madrid or something like that, no, guys, it's not the case, really. It was just Bartomeu being incompetent, really. So, continuing, yeah, so the Messi departure, as I said, Laporta could have done things better. But aside from that, there was a lot of opportunism coming from Messi's exit too. We had met the many of the newspapers that supported Sandro Rosell and Bartomeu all throughout these years while they destroyed the club, basically prize. But they were accomplices on facilitating this, because they always turned a blind eye to all of the bad things that Rosell and Bartomeu were doing when they were in charge of Barcelona, and that we cannot forget. So it's really embarrassing to see, now we are sad that Messi is leaving, but just please, guys, forget that we played a part on this. So yeah. This was another big problem of the Bartomeu reign: the lack of accountability. The media didn't hold Bartomeu accountable for anything. And of course, due to the pandemic, the fans couldn't hold him accountable either at the Camp Nou, which is just awful to simply recall that Messi had to leave the club without a full Camp Nou to say goodbye to him. And that is absolutely, absolutely catastrophic. But I think, yeah, Messi will come back one day. We are going to throw a massive goodbye party to him, a massive something worthy of him, maybe naming the Camp Nou after him, maybe a big statue, something like that, because Messi is simply unique. And I think that many of the fans that aren't Barcelona fans will never understand the link that we have with Messi, and that's okay. I think it's a real privilege that we have had over the past 15 years to have Messi with us. It was the opportunity of a lifetime, and I think that we should be really, really thankful that it happened, you know. Like that thing, oh, don't smile because it happened, etc., etc. I don't really like to say cliché things like this, but it really applies in case of Messi. And many people on social media were also being opportunists by saying that Messi, if he loved Barcelona so much, he could have played for free. But it doesn't work like that. La Liga has rules against this kind of thing. And if a player had a contract before and he signs a new one with the club, reducing his wages, the wages cannot be reduced below 50%. Why is this mechanism implemented? It's to avoid kind of backroom deals. Like, okay, so let's say that a wealthy owner buys a La Liga club, and the La Liga club is in financial difficulties, but he keeps signing players and he keeps renewing players for lower wages than before and paying them outside of the club. And this is the kind of mechanism that is used to simply block this. I'm not blaming La Liga for this, but I'm blaming Javier Tebas for a lot more. Because Javier Tebas is the president of La Liga, and he basically came out during Laporta's press conference to make tweets and Messi's departure too, to make tweets like the deal that cost Leo and stupid stuff like that. And basically, he basically confessed to blackmailing Laporta that if Laporta took the La Liga CVC deal, Messi could stay. And Tebas was the same guy that was saying for over a month that he wasn't going to make any exceptions for Messi. Not because he's Messi in Barcelona. And then he goes there and basically confesses on Twitter that he actually started to push Laporta and Barcelona to accept this CVC deal, which is awful because you're basically selling 10% of La Liga for decades and for little money. And we know that a year is a long time in football. Imagine 40, 50 years. So it was a ridiculous deal from the start, and both Barcelona and Real Madrid are going to sue CVC and Tebas for asking for explanations on what is this deal. And it's really, Spain is really complicated, and honestly the politics that plays in each of the two biggest clubs in the country is ridiculous, but it's part of the reality of being a Real Madrid and a Barcelona fan. We will never be able to escape this. One thing too that I want to mention is the disappointment with players like Umtiti, Jordi Alba, Sergio Roberto, Pjanic and others, because not only they refused to take a pay cut, these guys even refuse to sit down with the club and renegotiate their contracts when they know that the club is in an awful state. And of course, many people will say, but Rafa, they are professionals, they have their lives, and would you take a pay cut if it was for the club? Yeah, of course I would, because I'm a Barca fan, but these guys aren't. They are professionals. And okay, I don't think that these arguments are wrong. Absolutely not. But even so, they know that Bartomeu basically gave them massive sprawling contracts way above their own value. And honestly, I don't think that they should take a pay cut. And then at the same time, I think that they should have, which basically just shows what a difficult situation it is. And it was really refreshing. It even made me happy to see Samuel Umtiti booed at the Camp Nou for the Juan Gamper trophy. And I think it worked, because we already seen rumors that he's going to leave to Nice or Monaco in France, or perhaps Besiktas in Turkey. So yeah, we fans, we have a voice that is a lot more powerful than we think. So continuing with the financial consequences of Messi leaving, and the big one here is that it's going to cost Barca a lot of money in brand value. We already have had reports that Barca will lose over 100 million euros in terms of brand value now that Messi is gone. And this is normal. Messi is one of the greatest, he is the greatest footballer of all time, and his marketing value and impact is simply invaluable for any club. Just imagine what he's going to do at PSG. So it's frustrating, and not only that, but there are estimations that Barca will lose almost 20 million on match days and over 40 million in sales of shirts and merchandise too. And of course, Barca are also going to lose over 70 million euros in business revenue, because Messi is a big draw for any sponsor, because any sponsor that sponsors Barcelona consequently sponsors Messi, then they can make use of Messi's image. And this is the kind of thing that is invaluable too. And we have already seen some reports, not exactly reliable, but I think it's going to happen, that Rakuten and Beko, which are the two main shirt sponsors, are going to be sitting down with Barcelona and ask for explanations on why Messi left. And perhaps they're going to try and renegotiate their deals too. And of course, the main sponsorship of Rakuten might be renewed. They might continue sponsoring the shirt, or they might not. We don't have enough clarity on that. So yeah,
the amount of difficulties that Messi leaving does to Barcelona is a lot more than just losing the greatest of all time for what he does on pitch. The impact on our finances are massive. And one thing that I found very interesting too is that there's a guy, I actually forgot his name right now, so you can just see how unknown he is. But he is an expert in basically sports law in Spain. And he had been saying for months now that Messi was never going to stay at Barcelona because of the financial difficulties. And it happened. He was proven right. And he was abused by Barcelona fans on social media for a long time. And he was proven right. So this guy, he came out in the recent days. And he said that Barca needs to recoup at least 144 million euros in capital gains and savings in terms of wages to actually be able to register the new signing. So we might actually begin La Liga without being able to register Emerson, Eric Garcia, Aguero and Depay. So yeah, just when you think that things are bad, they start to get worse. It's just mind-boggling, guys. And of course, it's now almost 1.4 billion in debt, so that value is also it's also increasing, which just makes this tougher to digest. Of course, aside from that, the whole financial blame lies with Bartomeu, as I ranted for a long time now. So in terms of sporting consequences, I've been reflecting on this, and I must confess that I don't know the exact answer as to what is going to happen in the upcoming season. I think that the reality in the post-Messi world for Barcelona on pitch is going to be really tough, because if Koeman couldn't win the league with Messi, we imagine without him. Simple as that. And Koeman didn't manage to win a single big match aside from that one away against Juventus for the Champions League group stage. So yeah, I really don't have high hopes for the season. Of course, I'm going to watch. Of course, I'm going to keep commenting. But in terms of expectations, I think it's better to have none. Much like it's basically the tactic that I've been doing to movies and TV shows too. I don't have any expectations. And then I research a little bit about them. And okay, I started to watch it. And oh, this one is really good. And the surprise just makes it better. So this is my plan for the season. No expectations, and anything good that happens is going to come as a surprise. So things aren't going to be as bad as expected, I think. Of course, we had the news of Aguero's injury. He's going to be out for at least 10 weeks. And honestly, that was the biggest problem with Aguero signing, which I mentioned before. His fitness has always been a problem throughout his whole career. He lost a lot of matches playing for Manchester City too because of injuries. So we have a big problem on that. And without Messi, we're going to focus a lot more on La Masia, which means that Ansu Fati and Pedri renewals have to be the biggest priority here. And of course, not only them, you have also Alex Colado, you have the Gavi, who is absolutely incredible coming through. And many, and Balde too, Alejandro Balde too. So many, many La Masia players with a lot of potential coming through. And I think that they can step up and play a big role, much like it happened in Van Gaal's second term at the beginning of the century, when he, in his second term here at the club. So aside from that, I think that there's a possibility that many of the players that used to hide behind Messi are going to start to stepping up without him, and they're going to perform better. But I think that I'm being a little bit blindly optimistic to even imagine that. But fingers crossed, maybe it will work. And of course, we have Griezmann too. I think that Griezmann will benefit the most from Messi's exit. He plays in a similar part of the pitch that Messi played, so he's going to have a lot more freedom, he's going to have a free role, and maybe he will surprise us a lot. And this is something, I think this is one of the few things that I think are going to definitely happen this upcoming season. And of course, to cap things off, I want to comment on Messi going to PSG. It's not official,
as of now when I'm recording this, but it's going to be official soon. So let's just get this over with and comment it. So first of all, I'm sure that many of you remember that back in 2017, I wrote a very controversial article for a big Manchester City website advocating for Messi's departure to Manchester City. And really, the biggest controversy I have ever been involved in as a football pundit, for sure. And honestly, I stood by that at the time, and I never regretted those words, but it was 4 years ago, very different things. And of course, the prospect of Messi going to Manchester City last year too, last August, was something that I really supported too. And this is because I think that if Messi is to leave when the club was simply being destroyed and sabotaged, and we know that the current state of the club is just a reflection of what I had been talking about since 2015. So regarding this, I wanted Messi to challenge himself if he leaves. So I never believe the kind of thing that he needs to prove himself in another league. Absolutely not. That is complete rubbish. But I always thought that Messi's legacy would actually become even more bigger and powerful if he had played in the Premier League, because people say that Messi would struggle in the Premier League, and that is absolutely ridiculous. We very well know that. And a 34-year-old Messi would absolutely be no difference. He would never struggle there. And people would learn to appreciate Messi even more. He would have a shot at winning even more golden balls too. This is the kind of thing that really I thought that could benefit Messi as a whole, because Messi cannot just stick around and waste his best final years with Barcelona. That was the argument that I wrote in 2017, and of course we know what happened. So aside from this, just to be clear, after Messi didn't leave the city last year, I really thought that he was going to stay forever and basically finish his career here. He would have scored over 700 goals, official goals for Barcelona. He would have made over 900 appearances for the club, maybe even get to 1,000. And I really believe that Messi can play until he's 4 years old, because his ability and his football IQ will remain unchanged. It will only get better with age. The only thing that he has obviously lost over the years is his explosiveness, but his ability to dribble and to create chances and his passing, his finishing, everything has stayed impeccable. So this brings me to Messi to PSG. I think that I know this is going to be controversial, but if Messi had gone to Real Madrid, I would have gotten less upset than Messi going to PSG. And I know this is outrageous. Many of you are going to disagree with this, but let me explain myself. I really think that the French League, the Farmers League, as I often call it, or the quality of the league is absolutely below Messi's standards. Messi is bigger than PSG. Messi is bigger than Ligue 1 as a whole. So he's wasting his final years there in terms of playing domestically. He's going to compete in cups and in a league that are below his best abilities. It would have been the case of Messi going to play in a league in Argentina or the MLS. But the difference is that PSG plays in the Champions League, and of course they have many star players, many expensive players. Aside from this, of course, PSG are simply a Qatar vanity project. They have bought the World Cup that's going to happen next year. They bought PSG just as a distraction, of course, and they own beIN Sports too. But overall, it's just a club that was founded in 1970, so they barely have 50 years. And this is really the kind of thing that is really below Messi. And I think that he knows this, honestly. He knows that PSG are nothing. But I also think that this is a conscious choice by Messi, because Manchester City didn't move for him, which was a big disappointment. They're going really all out for Kane, and the train has passed for Messi. This seemed clear to me. So PSG was, unfortunately, in terms of overall squad quality, the best option for Messi. I think that Messi chose PSG because he's going to be playing with many of his friends like Paredes and Neymar, which really counts a lot for him, either we like it or not. But not only that, but Messi will be able to only focus on performing his best in his final, which will likely be his final World Cup next year, and he's going to be fully focused on the Champions League. He said it on his goodbye press conference that his focus is winning another Champions League. He simply cannot forget that. And interesting that he mentioned that Barcelona were really close to winning another three Champions Leagues, and this really hurt him, which he means obviously the 2010 against Inter, 2012 against Chelsea, and 2019 against Liverpool. And I think that we all think that if Messi had, if Barca had beaten those teams, they would have won the final. Yeah, absolutely. So it hurt Messi as much as us, and he's very competitive. So I think that he simply wants to sit back in the league and in the cup and just step at his trophy list a little bit with a few relevant cup and league titles in France, much like Dani Alves did before he moved to do greater things again. So I'm not blaming Messi for this. Absolutely not. Just don't take this the wrong way. Personally, I won't be watching any matches, many PSG matches. I will continue to root to actually be against them in every single match, with Messi or without Messi. That doesn't change one bit for me. It's really, I think it really reflects the sorry state of football nowadays, that Messi leaves Barca and he ended up going to a club like PSG. And some people will say, but Rafa, you like Manchester City, what is the difference? First of all, Manchester City is a century-old club. They have a lot of tradition. They had bad patches, like going to the second or third division, but they have a name. They do a lot for the local community in Manchester. They absorb the core that made Barca so successful, which was Cheeky and Soriano, and their approach to football is very similar to Barca. They don't simply buy the world's best players as in a vanity project and everything. They focus on the football side of things, which is a very different way of the way that Qatar acted towards the World Cup, by simply buying it. And same with PSG and Neymar's clause too. So basically, this is, of course, Manchester City greatness and their power is a lot due to their money, absolutely. But PSG are only money. They don't have any soul. This is my honest thoughts on PSG and why I think it's a bad idea for Messi to go there. And of course, just to cap things off, guys, I just hope that Barca has a better season than I expect. Absolutely, the club needs to continue competing, but we need to, and this is a warning, but we need to get used to the club's new reality. Barca won't be that club that wins two out of every three La Ligas every 3 years. That's not going to be happening anymore. I don't think that Barca will be a contender for the Champions League for a very long time. So basically, I think that Barca is going to win a league or two every 4 or 5 years. And maybe sometimes a good run to the semifinals of the Champions League or something like that. But it's going to take time for Laporta to rebuild the club. It's a lot of debt to pay back. And of course, we had the Camp Nou reforms, which were supposed to begin years ago, but didn't, because Bartomeu simply ruined everything. So basically, Laporta is left with a club in a very difficult state financially, with a stadium that really needs a reform, and that the club doesn't have any money, and they need to renegotiate with many sponsors, which their contracts are running out. Many players are earning a lot more than they should have. The wage bill is massive. So we need to understand the current situation of the club, and adequate our expectations properly. This is something that I really want to insist, because Barca has always been a club that is in constant state of chaos. The Messi era had some bad defeats, and of course the many other bad things, like the club being criminally condemned for the Neymar signing, like tax evasion and whatnot. But overall, the club has always been messy. Messy in a way that is not good. So we had, of course, the 70s, which Cruyff came and won the league for the first time in a long time. The 80s were absolutely calamitous for Barca, aside from a league title and a run to the European Cup final, which was awful against Steaua. So yeah, overall, just many bad things. Yeah, so it's not easy, and we need to recognize that the whole apparatus that surrounds Barcelona is very chaotic. You have the media, which misleads the club's members into voting for wrong candidates, and of course the Barca members have shown time and time again that they are not sensible. So a lot of difficulty has always been surrounded the club, and I think that is never going to change, because it is the nature of Barcelona as a whole. So let us hope for the best, but always have expectations according to the current situation. See you guys on social media. Take care.